All right. You Lumberjack fans, you know that song. Dal, nice pull. The Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks last night pulled off the biggest win in program history. And joining us now is the coach of that Lumberjack team. He's been here before, old friend of the show, Kyle Keller, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, what's up?
Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Listen, let's start backwards. When you beat the number one team in the country in Cameron Indoor with a big, what the most, one of the most historic programs in college basketball history, how do you celebrate? What did you do afterwards to celebrate?
You know, I let my players, unfortunately, throw a bunch of water and ice and Gatorade on my head, and I didn't realize that how little a hair that I had on my head. And so I was kind of embarrassed as my wife was showing me the video when I got on the bus of you know, I had the Chad Clay, a lot of skin on the top of my head. And it's very humbling to notice how much skin I had there.
Well, and know this, it was all over ESPN as well. Okay.
Yeah.
That video was all, so the whole nation now is aware of this.
Yeah, that was very, 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 very embarrassing. Very, very, very embarrassing. But it was, we had a lot of fun. And then, you know, I did a ton of media stuff after the game. And we didn't get out of there till late. And we had, probably 250, 300 fans at the game. It was awesome to travel that far. And I had a bunch of family there. And so we didn't take off till, golly, it was probably close to 1:30, I bet, their time. It was a late game out there. And then all the storms that are coming through the country, you know, it took a little over 3 hours to get back. And we flew into Tyler, which is an hour and a half from Nacogdoches. Mm-hmm. We had some fans that were at the airport there. And there's an hour and a half drive back. So we rolled into our arena, 5:45.
Oh,
I ain't been to bed yet.
And it sounds like it. You got to be excited. I'm texting you at 6:30. Hey, come! You got to come on the show. I was worried, a little bit worried about, you know, waking you up, but I didn't really care.
I know you don't.
No.
I'd do anything for you, John.
I know you would, pal. I know you would, and I'd do the same. So let's. Okay. So did you set this game up, or was it set up when you got there?
No, we set up. I'm so grateful to Coach Krzyzewski for playing the game, because you know they pick and choose who they want to play. And we tried for a couple of years to play, and they pick and choose, and they didn't choose us. We thought we were going to have the game maybe a year or so ago. Didn't work out. They picked somebody else. So I sent him some letters and emails. He's hard to really get to. And then they chose us. They had an opening come up. One of my assistants, you know, said, hey, they got an opening. He reached out to them, and they picked us. And, you know, we're trying to grow the program, build the brand. We're the winningest program in the state of Texas in the last decade. I'm just grateful he played us. You know, they don't have to play us. And it just worked out, you know, we were able to play. I mean, you dream of winning that game that they had lost in there to a non-conference team, I guess, since 2000 or something. And it was a lot of fun.
Got Coach Kyle Keller with us, coming off the huge upset win yesterday against the Blue Devils. What did you tell your team pregame, and then when did you know in-game that, all right, we're in this, and not only are we in this, that we can go ahead and steal this game?
You know, I really, the night before, I thought was really critical, because I did a blind draw. I put their stats and our stats and didn't put the header of which team it was. And our stats are eerily very similar. I said, you tell me which is which team. And it was hard to decipher who was who, because field goal percentage, rebounds, points per game, points given up, all the steals, turnovers, all those kind of things. It's hard to tell who was who. I said, guys, it's, you know, we play very similar pressure defense. We both play at a high pace, a lot of points per game, and I said, guys, it's going to be a matter of who can do their stuff better tomorrow night. Who is capable of playing at the pace they want to play at and get the other team to dictate tempo. And So I thought that was really important. And the next thing I did really with our guys was I made them all write their name down on a piece of paper, just on one piece of paper. And I said, we use an alphabet. We all use the same alphabet. And I said, guys, I said, you know, I can't, no matter how much I practice, I can't write your name exactly the way you write it. I said, all of you are individuals, and all you need to do is be yourself. And us as a team on this piece of paper collectively is good enough, because we have a good enough individuals that are different, good enough to beat Duke tomorrow night. I said, I believe in you. We can do this. And throughout the process. But, and to answer your last part of your question was, I thought after they start off the half and we didn't get off to a great start and we kind of settled in about the 15-minute mark, I just had that feeling, because I've sat on that other bench, that we're going to have a chance to win this game. Because we're running some stuff and getting some pretty good shots. I thought we could win the game. I thought it would go to the very end and we'd have a chance, to be honest with you.
So when it gets to it gets to overtime, you're like, oh, damn, that was our shot. And you know, and then the team that's not Duke will fall apart. And 4-2 in overtime is not exactly, you know, going. But you guys are such pressure defense and cause so many turnovers and everything else. But when you go to overtime, does that put a little doubt in your mind? Or what did you tell them as you're heading to overtime?
You know what? I wrote one word on a board. I usually diagram a bunch of stuff or whatever and overload them probably, make them think too much. But I wrote trust on the board because I thought we'd really trusted each other. And I said, hey, guys, we've tried to help you get to this point. Now, tell me what you guys want to run offensively here, because you guys have done great. What do you guys want to run? And I looked at around a couple of the guys, the seniors. What do y'all want to run? This is your game from this point forward. Y'all tell me how you think we can beat them right here. And they did such a good job for four minutes and 59 seconds. They scored 2 points in what they wanted to run. So I'll never let them do that again, just so you guys know. But I thought that was important to try to instill some confidence in them, just like what you're saying, John, that usually the home team overwhelms the underdog at that time. And I want to instill some confidence in my guys that, hey, they got it. It's their time to take over. And because, you know, you're right. That normally happens. And I thought our guys handled it right. But I thought both teams were really gassed. You know, both teams were going up and down. It was physical. It was pressure. And they were tired. And we scored the first basket. They got another one. We didn't get they got an offensive rebound. We were trying to go 2-for-1 in the last minute. And if we hadn't given up an offensive rebound, we would have gotten the last shot. And regardless if they scored or not. And I thought that was important. But yeah, we didn't get it. We didn't get a loose ball and a rebound. And then, you know, Nate Bain, thank God, we get a loose ball. They don't get a shot. And that's what every coach dreams of, is a loose ball turns into a layup. I mean, that's how you want to script it. We beat LSU the same way. We got a loose ball and on the floor with two hands, and we made a shot at the end. And that's as a coach, and that you dream for stuff like that, because that's the toughness aspect of what you want out of your team.
Well, speaking of Bain, now, what a story, because his family lost almost everything in Dorian, Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. And he had a GoFundMe page going, which was going kind of slow, and it ain't going slow anymore after everybody heard this story now. Can you talk about this? How do you as a coach handle a kid who's going through what his family's going through?
You know, when that happened, and I'm a weather freak, when I saw all that stuff happening, that's probably my second hobby is weather, watching bad weather. Growing up in Oklahoma, you see tornadoes and stuff, and so it's always kind of stuck with me. But when I saw that Dorian go on and his father, just to give you a set it up, his father is a pastor and runs a school, has a school in conjunction with his church. And they have 600 kids at this church, at the school in Freeport, Bahamas. And they've had this for over 35 years in their family. And so he's maybe the most important person in Freeport. because he affects so many, has affected so many people's lives on that island. So it was just tragedy and devastation, not only of their family, but so many other people's lives. So we got the Red Cross involved here, and other people got involved. Our administration got involved, sent stuff down there, got stuff going. And then the university started this GoFundMe page, which if you don't gain a lot of traction early, it's not going to get much. But thankfully, last night, Bain hits that layup at the gun. And obviously, there's a lot of University of North Carolina fans that are really happy we won that game. So I'm sure they donated a bunch of money last night. And they got some more money.
Yeah, it's a lot of UNC fans.
No question. That hate Duke. And so they were happy Nate made that shot last night.
It's so funny. Like, you can see who donated, and everyone's putting here UNC fan, UConn fans. That's all, and that's the great thing about this. It's funny how the universe works itself out, man. You know, it could have been anybody that hits the game winner, but
it's the kid.
It couldn't have happened to a better kid. Yeah. And somebody that, you know, like the attention that now is coming to his GoFundMe, as you guys mentioned, it's perfect.
Yeah,
it's awesome. His dad called this morning. And was just in tears and saying, hey, coach, man, this is a God thing. He's working through you. He's working through him, you know. Because they had second thoughts about even going back and rebuilding the church and the school. And you know, I'm trying to talk to him and saying, hey, Pastor Bay, man, it's bigger than just you and your own family. Because he's got other small children in his family back home. He had to relocate one of his brothers to a school in North Carolina. And they kept the baby with them. And my wife was so kind talking to Nate's mom, said, hey, we'll take the youngest with us as you try to reorganize, and we'll just have him live with us during this time. And they didn't want to do that, but we kept trying to push them because we knew how the hardship. I mean, people down there didn't have shoes. I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, it's amazing how stuff works out. You know, I mean, the chances of us winning – our players are telling me this. We had a 1% chance on ESPN last night to win. They were all talking about that in the locker room after the game and all this stuff. And you know, and I was just like, you know, but it was bigger than that. You know, the universe, if you're a faithful guy, there's no question it was a God thing. I don't know how you – I don't mean that you're religious on you or anything, but it's big, you know. And it's just a huge deal. And there's no question that Nathan Bain was picked. Mm-hmm. Do that for a reason last night.
You give me chills here. You give me chills. So you guys, the Aggies are the 2%ers. You guys are the 1%ers. You guys are the 1%ers, baby. That's what you are. Let me ask you this. Is this the perfect storm? We saw Evansville earlier beating Kansas. Is this the perfect storm? You got three seniors, two juniors starting, your whole – basically all contributions from upperclassmen. They're starting four freshmen and a sophomore. This is how – I'm not saying that, you know, but you got guys that are playing together and they've got freshmen. Yeah, they're great. But guess what? We're going to beat you with upperclassmen.
Well, you know, I said that to somebody earlier today. You know, Duke's had this streak for forever, but they're obviously, they're coaching Coach Cal and Coach K are coaching freshmen. The landscape of our sport has changed. We also have 8 new scholarship players on our team. We play a lot of freshmen and new guys on our team. I mean, the biggest shot I thought hitting the game last night was Duke went zone, and I had a transfer junior hit a 3 on from the wing against their zone that kind of gave us new life.
And
we
huge.
Only made 2 threes last night. Yeah. But that was a huge shot for us. And to be honest with you, Bain played more minutes than he's ever played last night for us normally. And because I got 2 freshmen, and they were both – we've had the flu bug going on. And so they didn't play very much. They were just kind of getting their feet back wet. And they play – Nate starts, but he doesn't play many minutes just because I don't think those freshmen are ready to be attacked early at his position. And he played terrific. I mean, he played awesome. But and he's played in those lights before. But you're right, John. I mean, freshmen are so – I mean, they just come off playing in Madison Square Garden, playing Georgetown in a great game. And playing 2 games there. They got Thanksgiving. First time they're probably away from home at Thanksgiving. I mean, we caught them at the right time. I mean, you know, just everything just fit for us.
Perfect storm. Perfect storm. Perfect storm.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were at half. They shot terrible from the free throw line in the second half. We had, you know, that's a perfect recipe for us to win a game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what is
But we had to have that stuff happen.
Right.
But our kids, not to discredit our kids, you know, they fought. They fought like heck. And you know, I want to give my kids credit for battling up because they did. They battled their panties off.
What does this mean for you and what in the program now?
You know, it's a long year. We're a one big league. You know, Nichols beat Pitt early in the year. I mean, we've got great coaches in our league. Our league keeps getting better and better. You know, if you play what ifs, if we're able to win the league somehow, you know, we'll hopefully be in the thick of it. We're able to win the conference tournament. You know, a win like that maybe moves you better in the line of tournament seeding, and that's why you schedule those games. You know, and you don't get stuck playing a one or two seed, which you have no chance to win at. And, you know, SFA's won games in the NCAA tournament, but they've always been because they're in the 12-13 seed. And it's like us, you know, a year ago or so when we played Texas Tech and went down to the last minute. You know, we were a 13-14 seed, I guess, that year, and there were three. You got to be off at the 15-16 line to give yourself a chance to have the right matchup. And if you're not, you have no chance playing a one or two. But winning that game, you know, gives you a chance. And that's what you hope for.
Coach, before we let you go here, I want to ask you a history question, all right? You were on the bench. You were on the bench for that Oklahoma State-Texas triple overtime game, right?
Yes, yeah.
Was that the craziest game you've been a part of before last night?
No.
Which one was?
Not even close. The Texas A&M Northern Iowa when we were down 12 points with 35 seconds left in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, that's right.
Nothing
I do remember that one, yeah.
Down 12
with 35
to Northern Iowa with 35 seconds left.
I forgot that
one. In the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
Popped that one.
Wow. Okay. How about that? And then, last night. Last night.
That's number one now, right? Yeah, it's number one.
As far as wins go.
Well.
Craziest game.
Well, I mean, last night's win was a great win for our university. But, you know, we'll see how it stacks up at the end of the year. It can't be our high watermark. You know, the whole deal here is based on winning the NCAA tournament. I mean, we you know, the ball here is really important to our fans. I mean, you know, we're spending $26 million on a practice facility right now. Basketball is really, really important here. And it's a huge deal to all our fans, and it should be. You know, and it's a huge deal to our players and everybody that's associated with them. You know, it's beating Duke. I mean, gosh almighty, it's a big deal, but it can't be the highlight of our season. When we go back and make a highlight clip, man, it has to be the start of something big for us.
Yeah,
and we have to carry the momentum on. We can't be Evansville and lose two or three games after. You know, we go to Jonesboro, Arkansas. I'm going to get on a bus for 6.5 hours and try to go win a game. I think they're like 5-1 or something. We've got to go try to beat them. And we have, you know, last night was, you know, we get everybody's best shot at our place every time we hook them up. And I told our kids this before the game. I said, guys, this is one of the few times in the season where there's absolutely zero pressure on you guys. You can go out there, man, and just take tuck your shirts and just play. And have fun playing just because you love playing the game. There's zero pressure on you tonight. And I thought that was fun for them to do that because they don't get that opportunity very often.
No, now they got a bullseye. That's for sure. And you
too.
Yeah,
like the Astros.
Well,
Astros, what they've done.
Yeah.
Everybody gears up. They move starting pitching around to put their best starters against the Astros, right?
Oh yeah. Well. But the Astros, you didn't cheat last night to win that game, right?
I didn't what?
You didn't cheat. Right? Because the Astros, you haven't heard about what's going on with the Astros, have you?
No. I mean, until, you know, I believe everybody's innocent until they prove it.
I mean, that a boy, Kyle. I love that. Kyle Keller, everybody. Astro, you are an Astro. You're a Houston fan. Am I right?
No, I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm a Texas Rangers fan. But
Coach,
that's
what are you
all
doing?
To cut him off.
I got to be honest with you. Terrible. But I do appreciate what the Astros have done. I mean, they come from the depths of what they've done.
Yeah.
To build their deal. I mean, as a sports fan, how can you not appreciate what they've been able to accomplish?
There's a lot of haters out there, Coach. A lot of haters.
But
you know, when you're on the top, when you're on top, that's what happens. That's what happens when you're on top.
Yeah.
They're going to hate.
Absolutely.
Hey,
absolutely.
We appreciate you, man. Hey, congratulations. Great.
Thanks.
Great job. I hope this is going to be a great year for you guys. We'll have you back on, all right? When you guys are going when you're going to the tournament, we'll have you back on.
That'd be fun.
How about there's Kyle Keller right here on ESPN 97.5. I love that guy.